Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the August 18th special meeting of the Miami Beach Planning Board. Thank you all in the audience who are joining us, to our members who are present and staff. Thank you all. We're going to get our meetings started just because this is two important items that we have on the agenda. We anticipate plenty of public participation. The moment that our chairman arrives, we'll transfer the gavel back to our chairman. But if our city attorney, who is on the line, could please guide us in the process, the proper process, and get us in the proper posture for the selection of an interim chair for the handling of this meeting, we'd appreciate it.
Good morning, everyone. I'd first like to start by advising the public how individuals may participate in today's meeting and read our notice of lobbyist registration, and then we can address the question that Mr. Fernandez posed. Today's meeting of the Planning Board will be conducted in a hybrid format, with members of the Planning Board physically present in the Commission Chamber at Miami Beach City Hall, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via Zoom. To participate virtually, members of the public may dial 1-877-853-5257 and enter the webinar ID, which is 861-4342-6327 pound, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 861-4342-6327. Anyone wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon in the Zoom app or by dialing *9. Next, I'd like to read the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you're appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance, to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you're an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you're appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. So I understand that the chairman is not present yet. Is the vice chairman present?
No,
the vice chairman is not present.
Okay. So in that case, we can do one of two things. If there's a board member who would like to make a motion to name someone as an interim chair until either the chair or the vice chair are able to attend the meeting, we can do it that way, or we can do a round of nominations and then take a vote.
Mr. Attorney, for the interest of time, because we know that there's a lot of members of the public who may want to participate and we have a hard stop at 11, I think it's best if we open the floor at this time for any nominations for interim chair of the board. Do I hear any motions?
I was going to nominate Alex.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second Alex.
Okay, so it's been properly moved. Second, questions, debate, opposition, by acclamation. We're ready? Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues.
I'm sorry, I missed the, Tanya, your microphone is off. I missed the motion.
I withdraw the motion. Can I do that?
Oh, sure.
Okay, withdrawn.
Nick nominated Alex and I seconded it.
So moved by Board Member Gelpi, seconded by Board Member Asia, without opposition, that passed. With that, Mr. Attorney, the next order of business would be to introduce the first item on the agenda.
That's right.
Okay, so
the first item is approval of the minutes.
Okay, is there a motion for the approval of the minutes from our July 27th meeting?
I'll move it.
Okay, the minutes have been moved by Board Member Bod, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Board Member Gelpie. Questions, debate, edits, without opposition. The minutes pass. The second item on the agenda, Mr. Madan, if you could please introduce the item.
Okay, so the first item is file number PB21-0459. This is an ordinance amendment that prohibits apartment hotels in the RPS 1 and RPS 2 districts, which are located in the central portions of the south of 5th neighborhood and consist mostly of low to mid-scale multifamily apartment buildings. For reference, an apartment hotel is a building containing a combination of suite hotel units, apartment units, and hotel units under resident supervision and having an inner lobby through which all tenants must pass to gain access. An apartment hotel must contain at least one unit apartment. So these districts already prohibit hotels, suite hotels, hostels, and short-term rentals of apartments. Apartment hotels are essentially the only type of transient use that is currently permitted in these districts. So this change is consistent with the existing prohibitions of the districts. A large portion of these districts is in the Ocean Beach Historic District. Apartment hotel uses were typically used by older, historically significant buildings to be renovated and preserved and restored. However, the number of apartment hotel conversions over the last few years has negatively impacted the existing residential apartment uses and the residential character of the district. Since the use only requires one residential unit, the use has essentially become a de facto hotel. It's important to note that there are several other districts in the South 5th neighborhood that permit apartment hotels, including RPS 3, RPS 4, and CPS 2 districts. One quick note, there is one Scrivener's error in the ordinance that's before you. On page 3 of the ordinance or page 19 of your packets, there's an underlying language regarding accessory uses in the RPS 4 district. That language is related to the Ochi Miami Beach Darts Bar. The language is not new and was already adopted by the City Commission last year and was inadvertently left underlined in the draft, so it will be removed prior to first reading. And so with that, staff recommends that the Planning Board transmit the proposed ordinance to the City Commission with a favorable recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Madan. With that, colleagues, I think it's probably proper at this time that we open the public hearing to members of the public who wish to speak on the item in chambers. Is there anyone present that wants to speak on this item, PB21-0459, the prohibition of apartment hotels in the RPS 1 and RPS 2 districts? Seeing, yes, please come forward to one of the microphones, state your name and address for the record. You have 2 minutes, and please, if you could keep your mask on. Thank you.
Sure.
Welcome. Mr. Suarez, if you could hold on just 1 second, because I think we're being told that there might be an issue with your audio. Okay, please proceed.
Hi, my name is David Suarez, and I live at 350 Meridian Avenue. And I have been, for the last month, trying to end this short-term rental loophole on my neighborhood. Everyone notices that there's an increase in crime and speeding cars, and an overall decline in the quality of life, okay? And this is a direct reflection of these transient hotels in the neighborhood. And I'm glad that we're here today to end that loophole of allowing developers to come in and make money off of our neighborhood. So I urge every one of you to pass this ordinance and stop this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Suarez. Are there any other members of the public wishing to speak on this item in chambers? Seeing none in chambers, if staff could guide us, are there any members online wishing to participate virtually on this item?
Yes, we have 4 hands raised. The first one is Marielle Lipman.
Okay, if Marielle could please state his name and address for the record, and upon unmuting himself, he has 2 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Good morning, welcome.
Yes.
Okay, this is Marie and Harley Lipman. We have a home at 334 Jefferson Avenue and an apartment at 900 4th Street. And we are directly impacted with the construction at 333 Jefferson Avenue, since it's right in front of our house. We have the same issue as Mr. Suarez. Hold on 1 second. My husband would like to add something.
Hello, can you all hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, morning. please proceed.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to tell you that to allow this will happen will create a real problem for our neighborhood in South Beach. We've seen where these things take place, and you're going to get a transient community that, you know, looks to just party, brings drugs, it brings prostitution, and it brings violence. And we have children, and we've spoken to many of our neighbors on Jefferson and on Meridian and on Michigan, and we have found nobody who's in favor of this. Everybody feels that this will have a significant impact on the quality of life in South Beach, and that it's going to deteriorate with crime increasing. So we don't see any value in having a hotel of sorts south of Fifth. We only see harmful effects for the neighborhood and the community in a very substantial way. So we feel very, very strongly. I've never done anything like this in my life. I've lived in many places. I get along, go along, never complained to city council or government. I'm in my 60s, so I'm an easygoing guy. But everything we've learned about this just shows that this is going to create a lot of crime and a lot of tragedies in our neighborhood. And we need you to protect us. This is why you're here. This is why I'm here, is reaching out to you. We need you to protect us. And they got in through a loophole, and we need to reverse this. So you protect and you pay attention to the wishes of the majority of the people there.
Mr. Chairman, 2 minutes are up.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Mr. Madan, do we have any additional speakers?
Keith Marks.
Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, Keith Marks. I live at Continuum. I am a director on SELFNA. I just want to say that I've lived in this area since 2008 and been on the SELFNA board now for about 4 months. And only recently learned of the abomination that is in code called apartment hotels. I was shocked to see in the real deal that they actually were promoting that this is a great idea for investors and that they should start buying up old apartment complexes and turn them into this so that they can make money on Airbnb short-term rentals. To call it a hotel is a disservice to a hotel. A hotel has a front desk. They have liability. They have security. They have some form of rules, even though we've seen hotels actually bring in elements that we're not thrilled about in the south of Fifth area. But there is no law, no rule on apartment hotels. They're not even being permitted with centralized only walk-ins. There are current apartment hotels that were permitted that have individual entrances and exits. So this is nothing more than a glorified day hotel with no liability to the owners, no security, no safety for the community. And not only should it be prohibited in this area, but if any other area in Miami Beach has an apartment hotel concept, they should be abandoned and prohibited. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. Do we have additional speakers?
The Allison Herman.
Good morning, Ms. Herman. Please state your name and your address for the record. Yes, good morning.
Sure. My name is Allison Herman. I live at 400 South Point Drive. I am the president of SAVNA and speaking on its behalf today. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you for setting this special meeting. I think this is an extremely important ordinance with a loophole that does need to be amended. SAVNA urges and encourages you to send this crucial ordinance back to the commission with a favorable recommendation. Eliminating the loophole in RPS 1 and RPS 2, where short-term rentals are already prohibited. We believe this is a crucial step to preserve the quality of life in our residential neighborhood, and it needs to be done as soon as possible. So again, thank you very much, and that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Herman.
The next person is Alexandra.
Hi, my name is Alexandra Guzik. I've been a resident of South of Fifth for 15 years, and we also helped represent, I'm at 400 Alton Road in Murano Grande. We've sold pre-construction all the buildings in the neighborhood. And, you know, as the evolution of neighborhoods, when South of Fifth first started, it wasn't perceived to be what it is today. And as we're evolving, as Allison had said, I believe that we need to readjust that loophole to keep the integrity and the vision of what this neighborhood has become. And in the interest of, yes, we live often in a very seasonal time in Miami Beach, that there be a designated area that's not in South of Fifth that can serve to this community that needs that short-term access. But in addition, I would request that we set a minimum of 3 months, minimum or 4 months, that one can rent short-term in this neighborhood to keep the same integrity and the reason why we love living here. I will tell you that I've had a dynamic change, and I live in a bayfront townhouse unit, and I have a lot of unwelcome guests coming to sit on my steps along as coming to visit. And it kind of violates our amendments of a quiet enjoyment in our property. So I hope that we can find a way to get to a better place and bring back the caliber of what this neighborhood was.
Next person is Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, it's Jerry Gonzalez. I am the president at 360 Meridian, a condominium. And I've owned for the last 30 years, and I've lived here for the 20 years with my wife and my daughter. And sadly, this neighborhood has, over the last 2 or 3 years, has gone down. It's not unusual nowadays to find people urinating, defecating, and performing live sex acts in the streets. I've seen it from my balcony. I mean, I would never, ever imagine 5 years ago that South of Fifth would become the zoo that it is now. It is chaos down here. As a matter of fact, I've had to start carrying my gun around, and I never used to carry my gun. I've always had guns around in all my life. They've always been part of my life. I never thought that I had to carry a gun. Now when I go out with my daughter or by myself with my wife, I've got to carry a gun, and my wife is also carrying. And this is insane that South of Fifth has gone down like it has. And I ask all of you, on behalf of our family and individuals here at 360 Building, to stop these short-term rentals. That is a big problem. I see these groups of individuals coming through and out of this area. They're up to no good. And I ask you to please stop these short-term rentals before this thing gets out of hand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person is an email address. It's danreinhar@gmail.com.
Yes, my name is Daniel Reinhart. I live at 1000 South Point Drive. I've been living here since 2008. Generally speaking, as the other people have said, the neighborhood has gone downhill. There's a lot of transients now that are popping through. And I am totally against having transient hotels in this area. And I hope the planning board passes it on to the commission. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next person is Sylvia Zistris.
Just one second, Mr. Madan, just for the interest of time, because it is 10:30 and we have a hard stop at 11. How many more speakers do we have on the queue?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mr. Attorney.
Seven counting Sylvia.
Mr. Attorney, please guide me. Is there a possibility that because we have two items and we need to get through before 11 a.m., can I respectfully request that comments be limited instead of 2 minutes to 1 minute?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we can do that because this is one of a series of public hearings. So so the public will have another opportunity to speak when the item is transmitted.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. I appreciate it. Colleagues, is that okay with the will of this board, since we have a hard stop at 11, to proceed with 1 minute per speaker?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So with all in agreeance, Mr. Madan, let's give 1 minute per speaker so that we give every speaker the opportunity to speak and we can conduct our business.
Okay. The next person is Sylvia Zistris.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I live at 135 3rd Street. I'm a board member of our co-op. I've been there about 5 years. And we're perhaps can offer a slightly different perspective, given that we are more on the, commercially zoned entertainment side of South of Fifth. But over the last couple years, as with everybody else, we've noticed a significant decline in the quality of life in our neighborhood. Things, all these issues that pertain that everyone has touched upon. I just would like to add that, usually this time of year, it's a quiet time. and that has certainly not been the case this year. There's been shootings several weekends, people being stabbed. We can't walk our dogs, on the boardwalk after dark. It's been a significant change. And I think there also have been, though, there are other ways to more positively impact our neighborhood. We've had many private developers who have come in and built, beautiful new buildings. And that's been great for all the private residences. But to be adding apartment hotels in an area where they are negatively impacting not just the immediate neighborhood, but also parts of the entertainment areas around them, I think is poor judgment on our part. And as a citizen who's been here for 5 years, I think that would very negatively impact us. And we want to continue to bring in people who have a regard for our neighborhood. And I would second the.
Mr. Chairman, 1 minute is up.
Sorry. Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please. Please state your name and address for the record. You have 1 minute, Rogelio.
It's Tranquility House, Leo Ostreicher.
Yes. Hi. Am I being heard?
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome. Yes. Well, I'm the president of Tranquility House here on 358 Euclid Avenue. And the thing is that none of these transient hotels would operate today as they are if any of them would have followed the rules with having a common lobby. So that means that if the rules that we already have now in the zoning, the requirements, would be followed, then none of this would have happened. So if you go ahead and you're successful with this ordinance, would that grandfather these operators that shouldn't have been here in the first place? If so, then adopting this new ordinance would not help us at all. So the question now is for you folks. Will this new suggested ordinance grandfather the current operators or not? And if so, I'm against this ordinance.
Mr. Chairman, 1 minute is up.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. The next speaker, please.
The next one is a phone number, 1-917-873-550.
Yes, hi, this is Ronald Starkman. I live at 300 South Point Drive. I've been here for 11 years. Also, I'm on the board of Miami Beach United. And you should have received a resolution from Miami Beach United supporting the amendment to the zoning to prohibit the conversion of apartment buildings to apartment hotels in South of Fifth. This neighborhood already prohibits short-term rentals less than 6 months. This is clearly a loophole that needs to be closed. And that's why we are strongly supporting the and appreciate that you are taking this up in August to close a really serious loophole. We know all about the problems with short-term rentals. That's why there are restrictions on them. And this is clearly an unacceptable exception. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Starkman. The next speaker, please.
Stephen Helfman.
Stephen, you have 1 minute. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. My name is Steve Helfman. I live at 819 Second Street. Thank you all for agreeing to have a special meeting. We appreciate it. We needed it. And I'm looking forward to a favorable vote on this by the entire board. I just would like to tell you that I join with every single speaker. My neighbors, I want to thank my neighbors for being here today and supporting this item. It is quite unfortunate that the city has allowed an abuse of the current regulations and has forced us to be in this position today and forced us to bring you out during your holiday to have to pass this legislation. But unfortunately, the city has allowed multiple hotels to commence construction and open up in the neighborhood in violation of the current law. And so we have to amend that current law because the way it's being applied is outrageous. So
Mr. Chairman, 1 minute is up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Helfman, and it's a pleasure to be here today serving you. Any additional speakers?
Yes, the next is a phone number, 305-632-1766.
Okay, if you could please unmute yourself, state your name and address for the record, and you would have 1 minute. For the interest of time, since we do not hear... Okay, yes, good morning, welcome.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, welcome.
Can you hear me now? My name is Mary Wertheim. I live at 110 Washington Avenue. I've been here as a full-time resident since 2006, and I'm a recent widow. First, I have to tell you I'm a concealed carry, and I have felt very often now that I must go out with my weapon. I watch from my terrace, and I've seen cars coming down here at, 60 miles an hour, just going like crazy. I've seen people in big, heavy motorcycles that are not that common here doing similar things. And I think I've even seen prostitution in the place on Second Street. There was a young woman sitting out there, and I have a dog that was sick, and I had to go out a lot. And she was sitting out there, and then she was gone. Then she was sitting out there, and then she was gone. And then she was sitting out there, and then she was gone. And at one time, there was terrible noise coming from what must have been the unit she was in. This is not what we expected when we bought here. This is a beautiful neighborhood, and it's really terrible that people feel now, like me, that I have to walk out with a weapon. And I know, I watched that building go up. I know that it was supposed to have someone living there. Nobody lives there now.
Mr. Chairman, 1 minute is
supposed
up.
To be... Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, ma'am. Any additional speakers?
Yes, Nancy Thomas, MD.
My name is Nancy Thomas. Thank you for taking care of us and trying to make this. I live at the courts at South Beach. I lived here since 2007. Thank you for trying to make this neighborhood safe for all of us who consider it our home. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas.
We have two more. Steve Russell is the next person.
Okay, Steve, if you could please keep your comments short because we do have to vote on this and we have a hard stop at 11. So state your name and address and you have 1 minute to speak.
Gladly, thank you. My name is Steve Russell. I'm a South of Fifth resident for the last 17 years, currently at 400 Alton. Urging you to please support this resolution. We have a very unique and special neighborhood. We have an elementary school. We have playgrounds. We have local eateries. We have places of worship. Violent crime, dangerous antisocial behavior is quickly on the rise and is associated with these kind of buildings and with the people coming to them. We cannot allow unregulated flophouses with hundreds of nightly partiers, unmanaged, and in properties that are unaccountable for their behavior. Please close the loophole. Thank you very much for holding this hearing.
And thank you, Mr. Russell.
The last speaker is Julian Trujenke of the Murano Grand Residence.
Okay, and with that, Rogelio, we close the public hearing. So, Julian, please state your name and address, and you have 1 minute to speak.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here today, and I am a resident at the Murano Grand for the past 17 years since they built it. I've also been a resident of the neighborhood since South Quaint was built. It took a very long time to bring our neighborhood to what it is, to what it was. And it's really, really sad to see where it's going. And if we don't do something quickly and ask the people like you to stand up and stand for us and represent us and help try to control what is going on, it's going to become too late. It's going to be too far gone. I am now a grandmother, and I would love to see my grandchild and grandchildren hopefully grow up in this neighborhood, and I'd like to continue living. But yes, I feel sometimes hostage to what is going on, and it's not fair to the residents, and it's not fair to the value that we have. So I ask that you stand up for us and stop what's going on. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Ms. Trujenke. With that, we close the public hearing and bring the conversation back to the dais. Do any members have questions? Board Member Bond.
I know that we have 18 minutes to finish all the board's business today, but this is a really important issue, so I have a couple of questions before I even make my comments. The first question is the caller who referenced the loophole being closed and made retroactive. Is that something that this ordinance will address? I guess that's a question for our attorney.
I can address that. As with any other amendment to the land development regulations, this would apply prospectively. Anyone with any use that has been legally established within the meaning of our code could continue to operate. Rogelio, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Let me just interrupt for just a moment, just because I think it's important for the record to reflect that we're now joined by our chairman, Kareem, to whom I will transfer the gavel to, but just for purposes of the record. So please.
So the other question is, thank you for that answer. Rogelio, I don't know if you had anything else to add.
No, that's correct. Every ordinance is moving forward, so anyone who's legally established or has a building permit, fully issued building permit, would be grandfathered.
Okay, so thank you for that. The other question, it's a more general, bigger issue. We had a situation a few months ago where we had very little time to discuss an ordinance or a proposal that was problematic, so problematic that we shut it down and thought that if it came back again, if it were going to go forward, we were going to be able to address any issues that we might not have caught because it was so pressed. I don't want to have to be in that situation again. I think there is an enormous amount of concern about what we're hearing from residents, but it's not just in South of Fifth, it's citywide. And so what I want to avoid is to, because of the time issue, is to support it for sure, but make sure that we are not having any unintended consequences. So if we support it and move it forward with our recommendation to the board, to the commission rather, there will be time between, I guess, the first and second reading to address any further loopholes. Is that correct?
Yes. Amendments can be made at each of the readings.
Okay.
But as stated in the presentation, this is the only transient use that's still permitted in the area, so there would be no other transient uses allowed
The last comment I will make about this, and it's a bit of a bigger conversation, obviously not for today, but I will put it in writing that we have a discussion item in September about transient uses citywide, because this ordinance applies to the South of Fifth neighborhood with good reason, and I am very much in support of recommending this amendment. But it is the tip of the iceberg. It is a citywide issue, and I'm looking at this short-term rental of apartments limitations map that is so complicated. There are at least four, if not seven, different types of zoning that is supposed to govern this, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's not being adhered to, and we don't have any way of enforcing it, and I think that is a much bigger issue. Understanding that the state is trying to preempt our local governance, I think this is a much bigger issue. So I'm not going to take up any more time. I support this wholeheartedly, and I think that in September, a discussion item must come to this board with community input about how to regain control of accommodating visitors to our city so that we can manage the behavior that goes on in the city and not encourage behavior that is deleterious to residents' quality of life, business owners, property value, and visitors' ability to enjoy what we have to offer. With that, I yield.
Mr. Chair?
Did you have a comment?
I would just quickly comment that, you know, I'm fully in support of this amendment. And just one quick question. For the established apartment hotels which don't meet the criteria of the definition that require an interior lobby, are they grandfathered in, Rogelio, or to Nick, to the city attorney?
If they are a legally established use, yes. So if they have a business tax receipt and they were legally established, then yes.
How is it that they're legally established if they don't meet the definition where there is an interior entry?
They may have met the definition at the time that they opened. So the definition may have changed over time. And as those definitions changed, if the use was existed prior to that definition change, they would be legally grandfathered, legally non-conforming use.
Okay. And there's nothing we can do about that, I suppose. So this is what we're left with. Anyway, so I support this and ready to vote whenever.
Yeah, I'll move it. I'm just going to agree with Tanya that it really needs to be citywide, because they're just going to find a new neighborhood to do this in where we don't ban it. So we're really just kind of moving this problem around at this point, but I'll go ahead and move this item.
Let me just take a point of, so I'm in support of the item, but I do want to put it on the record that, you know, we've had a lot of things come before us, and, you know, with regards to hotels and locations, I think we dealt with it at the Sunset Harbor site. So while I am in support of this, I just want us to be maybe even taking Tanya's words and not taking them out of context. So feel free to correct me. But as we look at it citywide and we look for proper accommodations for visitors and those frequenting some of the business opportunities within the city, that we also look at that hotel use and where it's properly situated within the city. What I don't want is us to reduce so many of our potential beds and give the sign that we're saying visitors are not welcome in Miami Beach.
Yep.
So and with that, if there's a second.
I haven't had an opportunity to issue comments
I'm sorry. I thought you did. Go ahead, Alex, please.
It's fine. So first,
Is that okay? Can we withdraw the motion for a second?
No. Okay. And I'll be happy to second your motion, board member. I think this ordinance speaks to so many of the issues that we're dealing with in our city, quality of life being number one. When we have the public coming to us that they have urinating, defecating, prostitution, violence, the decline of quality of life, shootings and stabbings in their neighborhood, and that this is what the professionals feel that we need to bring forward to address these issues, I fully support it. To board member Bond, having to do with hotel uses and apartment hotel uses and seeing which areas of the city, in which zoning districts, should they be allowed or should they not even be allowed at all. I fully support you in that. And let me just ask staff, because we did have a discussion at this table a couple of months ago where we asked staff to compile data and information for us so that we could have a more holistic citywide conversation about transient uses so that we reduce the impact of these transient uses on the residential quality of life. And I don't know if staff, if Rogelio, you have an update that you could give us as to where we are so that we could go ahead, hopefully in the future, have this holistic conversation.
We are in the process of collecting the data that was requested by the board. I believe it was in June. So we still have more data to collect. We do have some of the data collected. I don't have it in front of me right now. But we should have something if we want to continue the discussion in September.
Thank you. Because one of
that discussion is, we had the discussion scheduled so that once the data is collected, we would reintroduce it to the agenda. So we should be able to move forward with that in September.
And because one of the key things was seeing certain neighborhoods in which certain uses should be prohibited. So with that, to Commissioner Samuelian and to the co-sponsors, Gongora, Galber, and Minor, thank you to them for this important ordinance, and happy to second.
I'm sorry, Chairman, may I just add one more comment before we vote on this? I just want to make abundantly clear to anybody who's listening or reporting on this that we are a tourist-driven city, and if our tourists are feeling like they're not safe here, they're not going to come back. So some tourists are coming and causing havoc, and whatever, that's their prerogative, I guess. I'm sure that's not how they would choose to be spending their time. But at the end of the day, if we are not able to control what happens in our city for our residents, for business owners, and for tourists, the driving force of our economy of tourism will go away and will take decades to come back. So it's a financial issue as well.
Well said. And again, I just want to make sure I understand, underscore my point after that. That is all true. And I've said on this board before that, we may be possibly reacting to short-term effects that were the result of COVID, cheap flights, cheap hotels, things that normally did not exist prior to COVID. So as we provide solutions, because we definitely want residents to be safe, we definitely want visitors to be safe. And, I just don't want us to move so far in another direction from where we were such that we introduce unintended consequences. That's all. So I agree with the holistic approach. I agree with that from my perspective personally. But I just want to put that on the record because I've said it here before. And I just want to make sure Miami Beach is a business-friendly community and it's a resident-friendly community. And both of those things can coexist. And it's a visitor-friendly community. And so all three of those can exist at the same time. So with that, Asa DePietro, you moved.
I'll move it.
Alex, you second?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Okay, I'll do a roll call. Ms. Bott?
Absolutely, yes.
Mr. Brantley?
Yes.
Ms. DePietro?
Yes.
Mr. Fernandez?
Yes.
Mr. Jalpi?
Yes.
And Mr. Milan and Mr. Weider are absent. The motion passes 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, and I just want to ask staff, does that at this point become zoning in progress?
Yes, it does.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Suarez, for your leadership.
All right. We're going to move on to we only have two items, right? Is that?
Yes. Correct.
So we'll move to our last item, which is Planning Board File 210460, Multifamily Residential Repairs Exceeding 50%.
Okay, so PB 210460, this ordinance is related to repairs to multifamily residential buildings exceeding 50% of the value of the structure. As you may be aware, the city has undertaken a rigorous review of existing buildings, especially those undergoing a 40-year recertification under the Miami-Dade County Code. The intent of this ordinance is to facilitate and incentivize the comprehensive repair and rehabilitation of existing nonconforming residential buildings, and in particular, those undergoing their recertification process. The existing nonconformance section of the LDRs, the Land Development Regulations, requires that if repair or rehabilitation work is being done on a building, that exceeds 50% of the value of the building, that the building be brought into conformance with all of the LDRs of the applicable zoning district, and this includes height, setbacks, parking, open space, unit size, and FAR, though there are some exceptions for historic districts and sites. So, for example, if you had a 75-foot-tall building in a district that currently allows 50 feet and the building needed repairs that exceed 50% of its value, they'd have to chop off 25 feet from the top of the building in order to proceed with that scope of repair work. As a result, buildings needing repairs may choose to limit the scope of work that they complete in a year or put off certain repairs in order to not reach that 50% rule and lose their non-conforming portions. So the proposed amendment would allow building owners and condo associations to implement repairs by allowing the building's non-conforming features to remain, even if the work exceeds 50% of the value of the building, provided that three conditions are met. The first is that all portions of the entire building remain fully intact and retained. The second is that the building shall meet or exceed the minimum structural, life safety, and electrical requirements of the Florida Building Code. And three, that increases in the size of exterior windows and door openings shall not be permitted unless required by the Florida Building Code. So if the work on the building complies with those three items, the 50% rule can be exceeded and the building can maintain non-conforming height, setback, parking credit, open space, unit sizes, and FAR. Hopefully with this change, it will enable necessary repairs to buildings, in particular structural, life safety, and electrical repairs, to be completed sooner rather than later. And with that, staff recommends that the Planning Board transmit the proposed ordinance to the City Commission with a favorable recommendation.
All right. Do we have public comment on this?
There is one person online, Jerry Helfman.
Let's go ahead and take Jerry.
Actually, this is Steve Helfman on Jerry's computer. This is a very, very, very dangerous ordinance. This is one of the loopholes that has been used for the apartment hotel conversions. This is a terrible idea. I would urge you not to pass this. One of the reasons that these hotels have been allowed to open south of Fifth is that the city is not enforcing the 50% rule, and they're allowing these changes in excess of 50% without bringing the buildings into conformity with the code. And this is precisely, this is the one of the main reasons that we have a problem with these conversions south of Fifth. This is a terrible idea. This runs contrary to everything we're trying to accomplish with the apartment hotel issue. I don't know who's come up with this idea. This is a terrible idea. Do not pass this.
Do we have any other members from the public or in the auditorium to speak on the item? Seeing none in the auditorium, do we have anybody waiting online?
That's all that we have online.
Okay, so we're going to close the opportunity for the public to speak. But given that we do have the agenda, if someone does come up, Rahilio, just let me know and we might make a provision. I'm going to turn it over to board member Fernandez.
Yes, and just a quick question, because I know we're limited in time. Does this apply to uses, let's say? Let's say there's a legally non-conforming apartment hotel, but then they go in and they do repair work and all that. Would this then also apply to them?
No, this ordinance applies to non-contributing portions of the building, not to the use. So if the rehabilitation work exceeds 50% of the value of the building, the use must become conforming. So if there is a legally non-conforming apartment hotel and they were doing repair work that exceeded 50% of the value of the building, they would have to cease that non-conforming use.
And I would just like to add, this is limited to residential multifamily buildings. So yes. So this was drafted in order to permit existing non-conforming residential buildings, apartment buildings, to make improvements to their buildings to conform with the structural, life safety, and electrical requirements of the Florida Building Code without losing the building's nonconformities. So this is very limited.
Thank you. And thank you for that explanation, because I think given the times that we're living today, what we've seen as we learn more of the impacts that not just age, but our environment has on aging buildings today, we need to be sending the message that we need to be encouraging building owners to do everything that they can to make sure the buildings are up to the standards and to the codes and to the safety codes that are necessary to ensure the safety of those who occupy these buildings. And because of that, I'm very happy to support Commissioner Steinberg's ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Board Member Bott.
I think, while I understand the caller's concern, I think this is critically important to provide a third alternative, because currently you either have a building like some that we have in North Beach, for instance, that are owned actually by people in Surfside who are not repairing their buildings. We have buildings that are at risk for not conforming to current standards of safety, putting their residents at risk. Or you have the alternative of letting the building get into such disrepair that people choose to leave, and then developers come in, raise the building, and put in something else. So those families then get displaced. This is a third way, which encourages incentivizes, if you will, the owners and the residents and the organizing forces of those buildings to get their acts together, to make the repairs they need to ensure that their buildings are safe and continue about their life. It shouldn't be a risk your life every night or be displaced from your home option, and this provides a third path, so I fully support this.
Nick? I also support this. Just briefly, I would state, you know, I think we have an issue with this citywide. I'm pleased this is targeted to residential multifamily. I would like to see a reconsideration. For one, there's a bit of a game that occurs with, you know, inflating the appraised value to allow yourself to improve your property more. I feel, you know, we ought to have the right to improve our properties, you know, as best we can. Without that kind of subjective game, and to the degree that we could use a kind of formulaic replacement value, not simply an appraisal of what exists, I think that would smooth out the process and make it more straightforward. And you know, I would respectfully ask that the commission, you know, consider while we're at it, you know, revising some of these things citywide.
Board Member DiPietro, no comment. Okay, so I have a quick question on this. Is this cumulative? So how many times can I use this for my particular residential building?
There is no limit. So depending on your scope of work, if you exceed 50% of the value, you would be able to do that as many times necessary.
Okay.
But again, the ordinance applies only to certain types of improvements. So there can be no net increase in floor area, in FAR. There can be the improvements that are eligible are limited to those that would bring the building up to certain codes.
Right. So if you were totally remodeling the building, trying to change the interior layouts and units, you wanted larger windows, those types of things would preclude you from using this ordinance.
Understood, Mr. Joppa.
If it was a gut job of a building, that would preclude this.
Understood.
I was just going to state, correct me if I'm wrong, Rogelio, at the moment, you can apply the 50% improvement every 5 years. Is that correct?
I believe the building official has some flexibility in that determination. I believe it's been made to apply every year.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to move this item. I think that anything that we can do to help property owners to meet or to exceed the minimum structural, life safety, and electrical requirements of the Florida Building Code, it's our duty to support those efforts, and I'll be happy to move Commissioner Steinberg's ordinance.
And I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved. By Board Member Fernandez, second by Board Member Bott. Rogelio?
Okay, roll call, Ms. Bott?
Yes.
Mr. Brantley?
Yes.
Ms. DiPietro?
Yes.
Mr. Fernandez?
Yes.
Mr. Gelpi?
Yes.
And Mr. Milan and Mr. Weider are absent. The motion passes 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, quickly, yes, before we adjourn, because I know we got to end with the first item having to do with the apartment hotels, I meant to mention that I would like to ask staff to look at the issue of parking for visitors in, as it may be, I'm hearing from the residents of South of Fifth and other areas that the parking for visitors may be being abused by short-term rental users throughout different parts of our city. And I just wanted to mention it. I forgot to mention it earlier, and so I just wanted to ask this moment of personal privilege just to put that on the record.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty expensive proposition if they're just paying at the...
Just a comment. It was just...
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but... So, staff, you understood the comment?
Understood.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. And before we adjourn, just a personal note, and I apologize for my tardiness this morning, but I have been in a state of flux a little bit because I lost my father at a very young age to a heart attack, and it has been a tough process for us and our family. But I just wanted to apologize for being late. But when I set this so long ago, I had 11 a.m., unfortunately, and didn't pay attention to the top of my agenda where it said 10 a.m. So please allow me that forgiveness to the residents of Miami Beach and everybody for me being tardy. But I did want to just acknowledge that and acknowledge my dad. I was talking to Mark Milan the other day, and he mentioned, you know, that you live with the memory of and the blessing. And he said, you know, there's an old saying, you know, that may, you know, my father's memory be a blessing. And that's really what has carried us through. And, you know, we also look at, you know, just, you know, that, you know, there's a Bible verse that just says that the memory of the righteous is, you know, invoked in blessing. And so with that, just wanted to share that. Some of you did not know that. I have spoken to a few people in the city administration, and, of course, I spoke to a few board members, and just wanted to let you all know that. We are okay. You know, things are coming back, taking care of myself, making sure that I'm allowed to grieve properly and, you know, reduce some of the workload. But, again, just wanted to take that moment of personal privilege just to share that with you and explain a little bit of my tardiness this morning. So thank you all, and thank you, Rogelio, for everything. So with that, I think we're ready to adjourn, right?
Yeah. Condolences, Kareem. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're going to call this the conclusion of our planning board meeting for today on the 18th of August. And thank you to the residents and staff. And did you?
I have a question.
Sure. Sure, you got. I think you got to come to the mic, though.
I was late for the rezoning of South of Fifth. Okay, the RPS 1 and RPS 2. This is 30 years of my property taxes. I live at 301 Jefferson. The police reports and the code compliance complaints for the first 6 years of three shots, gunshots, per week under my bedroom window are at home. I did not bring all of those with me. My concern is that, one, these aren't going to be people that are visiting. They're going to be people that are visiting from other counties. Okay, this is going to cause complete disaster. I'm a resident. We put up with enough. We built that neighborhood up. I do understand that it is limited to 2nd to 4th Street. Who passed the RPS 1 and RPS 2 zoning, and when did it pass? Besides Jessica Gonzalez, and what is the other woman's name? That's what I'm told on the planning board, because no one that lives and owns property, I've owned for 30 years. There are people, my neighbors, I've owned for longer. No one knows. My name is Kathleen Pega, by the way. So I used to own a gallery on 5th and Washington that was kind of in a pickle the same way this is being. So if there are city planning officials that are allowed to rezone our property between 2nd and 4th, limited, when we are the South Point Redevelopment Group, I do understand south of 5th is actually south of 6th. Okay? Been in Miami Beach since 1988 from Beverly Hills. So how did this even exist?
So let me
I'm asking who in fact rezoned it for RPS1, RPS2. Do we have names?
Well, the city would have done it in general.
Planning board?
The city in general would have done it, and it's Ms. Pagan, right? How did you say your last name?
Peka.
Peka.
P like Pete, Peter, A like Apple, C like Charlie, A like Apple.
Peka.
I used to have Galaxy Gallery on 508 and 512 Washington. It's now a strip mall.
Understood. So, Ms. Peka, let me do this. We don't have those answers readily available for you right this minute.
Okay.
Would you be willing to submit your questions in writing to the planning department so that we can get you the answers?
Yeah, because no one seems to know. I did phone the planning board, and I got two answers because everyone said it was women. And so it would be Jessica Gonzalez and someone be like,
well, I don't want to.
I'm just saying these are the names that I was told that are the only two women on the planning board. How that got passed the city to become an actual rezoning is my question.
Right,
was,
I got
was
it.
Anybody,
so Ms. Peka,
was anybody a witness? I mean, or did it just happen?
Fair enough.
Did they buy a new Mercedes? I'm sorry, what?
Fair enough. Allow me to just cut you just temporarily because we don't have those answers readily available right now. So please put that in writing. Send it to the planning department, and we will get you the answers that you're asking.
To the planning department. I can get that information from?
Before you leave, I'll see you before you leave. Perfect. And make sure you have all
the
information.
You know, it's just like I had my entire building that was coming, but some of them are in firm. But, I mean, they've got more than 30 years of taxes, and we are one building.
Understood.
So it's not – you're destroying – I mean, it was – I moved there in 1991 when everything was boarded up, okay? And it was after the Mariel boat lift. So it was still not – it was very, very – it was the crime capital of America. I'm looking at it becoming that again. So –
understood.
There is nowhere for these people to park. That's the other thing. Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay. Understood. And I'll get you the information right after the board meeting. All right. So with that, do we have any other business before the board? We're going to call the meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.